get rich quick schemes.
Yeah.
This is definitely not the show you want to be coming to for financial advice.
Look, I don't know why my advice was that bad.
Well,
I gave out ideas, and I'm going to get rich from it. Watch.
You're not going to get rich, and it was not a quick plan either.
I hope I become richer than you.
You probably will. You probably will. So there's no doubt there. We also had a, maybe it's just me, that I found interesting about your favorite songs from when you were a teenager and why they're your favorite songs.
Yep.
I found it interesting. It doesn't matter if you did or not.
That's the whole point of the bit.
And
that's about it.
It's whatever. It's the podcast. Here it is.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
All right, get ready, everybody. Brian Riley has a get-rich-quick scheme. Have you ever heard of a pyramid before?
Yeah, this is close to that.
All right, how are you? What are you doing to get rich quick?
All right, so for the longest time, me and my brother collected sports cards. Like, we've been doing it since we were kids. He's gotten back into it. Okay. I haven't really that much. But he convinced me that some of these cards are worth like thousands of dollars. So what I've been doing is I've been going to the store, buying cards, finding the valuable ones that are in it, and then I give them to my brother and I go, sell these. And so he goes, okay. And we've been selling cards for the last 3 months.
Like on eBay and stuff?
Yeah, on eBay.
Have you actually made some money?
I mean, I have money in my Venmo account that he sent me. Well, so I got like $150 in my Venmo account.
Three whole digits.
Wow. Yeah, triple digits. But it's the price. So like the
how
thing
much
is,
do you pay for these cards?
Depends. Like $25 a box. So I mean, I'm not really up right now.
I was gonna say,
mathematically, I'm not really up.
I'm not good at math, but it seems like maybe you broke even.
Look, no businesses start successful right away, right?
But don't you? I mean, you gotta have like the rarest of rare to actually make some money on a card.
Now here's the kicker. So yes, having a specific card can make you a lot of money. But if you buy these boxes of sports cards and you just sit on them, don't open them, any of that,
yeah,
a year later, you'll be able to sell them for double. So our plan and my plan is to sell enough of these cards that I open to make enough money to buy a bunch of boxes, sit on them, sell them for double, and continue on and so forth.
I like how you call it a get-rich-quick scheme. Yet you're like, I'm going to buy these boxes, sit on them for a year, and I'll make like maybe $1,000.
Because
that's not rich, Brian.
Well, most of the time you sit on a card and you're like, it's going to be worth like $1 billion when he retires and he becomes a Hall of Famer.
Right.
I don't want to wait that long. I want to wait a year max.
I think, okay, and then you don't open them, so you don't even know what cards are in there. I was thinking about this when I did this with Pokemon cards for like 4 times, and that was it. I'm like, I'm out. This is dumb.
Prime example.
I think you should maybe do like, people have to buy in to watch you unbox them on a YouTube channel, so that every person has to pay like a $10 fee to even get into the auction. That's how you can get some money like right away.
Look, you guys are throwing out more ideas for me. Now I can start doing that and monetizing that, make even more money, and then...
And then, but then be prepared for when you open up a bunch of duds.
This is like the Beanie Baby craze of the late night.
I feel judged.
You have a lot of Beanie Babies?
They just unloaded that. Like, they're like, what is this container? And I was like, that's my Beanie Babies. And I've moved it ever since. I started in like elementary school, middle school, and it was supposed to be my college fund.
Wait, that was your college fund? And I'm being made fun of for my cards.
You can't say that when I'm drinking.
Hey, I had a little book with their value and projected value, like the Princess Diana bear that was supposed to be worth like $7,000. I never got one. I got a miniature one from McDonald's, so I would pay, my mom would pay money for Happy Meals. I would collect the Beanie Babies. I would open them.
Look, and I'm getting chastised for my get-rich scheme.
Hold up,
but wait a second. What is your most valuable Beanie Baby?
Dude, I got to go through that. Gobble? Whatever the heck his name is? That stupid turkey?
This thing means nothing to me.
He's worth like $500. Here's the thing.
Do you have them?
These have been sitting in there for almost, God, I don't want to age myself, over 20 years now. And they've got value. And I've never opened the top. It's like a time capsule. So I don't know, man. There's got to be some value in that.
Well, maybe you could go back to college.
But I hate the whole thing with I hate the whole thing with like selling on eBay, because then you got to pay for shipping, handling, all that other crap. It gives me a headache. You got to pay taxes and all that stuff. I hate it.
I hate to break it to you, Chelsea. Gobbles just sold on eBay for $7.
What condition was he in?
Just as close to mint condition as a Beanie Baby can be in.
You can't even take an online course for that amount of money.
And I'm getting chastised for my cards thing.
Those were my friends. I would read their poems, memorize their birthdays. Those were my friends for years.
I had Yo MTV Raps trading cards that I thought were really going to be worth something one day.
What?
I found the LL Cool J one that was being auctioned off for like $1,500, but which I have, and it's in pristine condition.
Of course, because nobody's touching Yo MTV rap cards.
I was gonna say, I'd be selling those real quick because there's a lot of conspiracy things coming out with rappers now.
Hunter texted in, there are people that still have the original packs of Pokemon cards, and they're selling them for $500 a pack.
Yeah.
Dang, like unopened.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm going to sit on some of these. One of those guys is going to be a Hall of Famer. You're going to want that $12,000. I'm rich.
Okay, none of us are getting rich quick off of any of these things that we've talked about recently. There's someone they tell me is sitting on hold right now who actually did get rich quick. Talking about get rich quick schemes this morning, Brian Riley thinks he's going to be able to retire off of football cards, and Chelsea thought she was going to college, all thanks to Beanie Babies.
Hey, don't forget, you bought Yo MTV Rap trading cards.
I just do that because I'm from the streets.
Because they're so cool.
But did you see some people texting in about some Beanie Babies, Chelsea,
yeah,
that are actually worth a lot of money?
Shannon texted, and she has a Valentino bear, which is either white or like a burgundy color and has a heart on it and a little sash. Shannon has one. Apparently it's worth thousands.
Really?
It depends on what edition it is.
Okay. Boy, that's a lot of work to put into it.
Val texted in saying my nephew got my grandson 10 packs of cards from back in the day from like 1989.
Yeah.
Still had gum in it.
Oh, dang.
He ate the gum. That was with the cards.
Oh, no.
1989. Nothing like 35-year-old cards.
Gross.
The gum just, mmm.
Now, listen, we don't know what the hell we're doing when it comes to getting rich quick, but there's someone sitting on hold right now who does not want us to use her name because she actually did get rich quick.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I invested in crypto a little earlier on.
Okay.
And I don't want to brag, but we'll just say that I made enough to where I don't have to work again.
Dang. Okay. So that, like, I know it skyrocketed where everybody was making a ton of money, and then it crashed. And right now, Bitcoin is at $65,000 for just one share.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. I could have 1,000 Bitcoin and not even know what to do. I don't even know how to buy one Bitcoin.
I had a bunch of buddies. All they would do was message each other. And I was in the group chat of just what was going up in stock, what was going down. I have a buddy who is my age that retired. Same thing, doing Dogecoin.
Really?
Dogecoin, he went through the roof
crazy.
With it, and now he's not even working, just chilling.
Crazy.
I wouldn't even know how to do this. It drives me crazy. I feel so stupid. So you got in early on Bitcoin, you said, right?
I did, yeah. My husband was against it. He thought it was a total waste of time, but I talked him into like starting small, and then I just like got super into it. I didn't know anything either, but I figured it out, and then just like kept investing, and then it kind of did the work for me.
Dang, girl.
Dang.
That's awesome.
So what do you do now? Like, do you still do anything? Or are you just...
She sits on her yacht.
I eat bonbons by the pool. Are you kidding me?
I still have yet to know what a bonbon is. I know that rich people eat them by the pool, but I have no idea what they are.
A little peppermint chocolate.
Learn what crypto is, and you can try it.
There it is. Well, let me ask you this. Does your husband still have to work?
He doesn't have to, but he does. He thinks it's kind of lazy and spoiled to be those people. But he only works quarter time now, so, you know, it's a little less.
Work smarter, not harder.
You know, Kelly, for a low, low fee of $4.99 a month, she can teach you how to become rich and never work a day in your life again.
Well, wait, how old are you that you're already retired?
42.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
So, say if you were super young, then there's no way I could retire super young because I would drink myself to death.
Kelly,
just think
if you were this rich, what type of boat you would have?
Oh, yeah. Maybe some at least from the 90s.
Again, $4.99 a month.
So do you think that, like, do you have any interest then in, like, going into investing or anything like that? Or are you just like, cool, I'll just chill?
I mean, I've been helping a bunch of my friends out with it. And getting them started. So I haven't done it like officially, but maybe I would.
Now, Chelsea, do you own Bitcoin?
I do because there was a coworker that was talking about nonstop. So I was very conservative.
Okay.
And I lost not a ton of money, but now it is up like 100, 160%.
Okay.
So I'm like, dang, I made like my $20 back. But it is exciting and they make it pretty easy to do.
Not easy enough for me. Brian Riley, do you have money in Bitcoin?
No, I don't even have any money in my bank account.
Okay. Now, okay, let me ask you this.
Brian, we need to get you a consultant.
Can you spend a Bitcoin? Like, could I buy a car with Bitcoin?
You can cash it out. You can cash it out, and then it's actual physical money that, like, goes into your bank.
Okay, how is it worth anything then? What? Where does the value come from?
Because you take your actual, your real money, and you purchase this electric kind of money or whatever. This is a really dumb version. And then it sits,
great.
And it goes, and then like gains value because everybody's investing.
I don't think that's right.
This is the wrong show to be talking financial advice.
I got this.
I don't know if the is what makes it go up in value.
When it's green, it's good. When it's red, it's bad. And, you know.
My God.
Yeah, it's just
how many
numbers.
People are going to go bankrupt after hearing this show today?
Don't listen to me. I haven't retired yet.
Well, can you tell us this before we let you off the phone? Is it in the millions?
Yes.
We are talking to a millionaire. Wait, is that Bitcoin money or is that like cash money?
Oh, it's still Bitcoin.
Atta girl.
Kelly's going to take your phone number down after this to figure out how he can get himself a nice boat.
I don't even know how many zeros that is.
Let's chat.
No, it's all
hair
good.
Bonbons.
I kind of like being poor. It gives me something to work for. So.
Keeps you humble.
But I'm happy to see you doing so well, though. Congratulations on all your success.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
Get rich quick by listening to this morning show.
Heck yeah.
We got all the scams worked out. Now we're going to, play the lottery next? But Brian Riley. So Brian Riley said he would loan me some money, Chelsea.
Yeah. I would.
The guy who has no money is going to spot you for the lottery. I love it.
Yeah, because we're going to win it.
But I saw this on Reddit and I was reading it. And it was talking about if you loan someone $10 to go play the lottery.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then you hit the billion. Are you legally obligated or morally obligated to give them anything back?
Okay.
Wouldn't you do it anyway, though? Like, how much, though?
If it were me?
Yeah, someone loans you $10, you hit the lottery on it, $1 billion. Okay. How much are you giving them back?
Well, after taxes, it's like $500 million, right? $450, yep. Something like that. If you were to do it, say you gave me $10.
Yes.
I would pay off all of your bills.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
All of your bills. And then I'd probably throw you $1 million on top of it.
For life or just for the year? Because bills don't stop, Brian.
Well, he's getting $1 million.
Right. I could work that out.
And then he can get himself a boat and then he could figure out his bills after that. But all of your bills currently. So like
your
amazing.
House
would be paid for, your cars, your any medical bills, like all of that gone.
That would be like a huge raise,
poof.
If you think about it. What about you, Chelsea? So what would you do? Someone gives you $10. Here, go play the lottery,
yep,
and then you hit the billy.
Ethically, I don't even split my like pull tab money, right? Even
right.
If somebody gave me like $20, I'm like, oh, I hit 200. I'm like, oh, 200's mine. So I'm a brat like that. But I think ethically,
I got to play with Chelsea.
I know, but then I buy like the food at the table. And
okay,
all the
okay,
and
yeah,
stuff,
then
okay?
That's fine.
You pay it forward.
Yeah, I get a little guilty. Gosh, morally, I would say split it in half or however many ways
half?
It is. Because how could you determine? I mean, they could come after you and sue you. There's a movie that was about this with Nicolas Cage
His
horrendous wife, and she got everything. But now that was a marital situation. If you're married to somebody and you win the lottery and then you get divorced, you are entitled to compensate them half the winnings.
Well, yeah, that.
Even if you already spent it.
But there's no legal documents here. You're just loaning someone $10 to go play the lottery.
That's
now,
true.
If it was us three pooling together and you didn't have $10, I spotted you 10, I'd just take 10 out of your thing.
Out of the millions.
You know what? I'm learning something new. You're very fair.
I'd take the 10 back. But if you were like, hey man, I want to get lottery tickets. Do you have $10? And I gave you 10, I would, you know,
but what,
I would think.
You got to think of it this way. Gosh. What if you just loaned someone $10? You had no idea what they were going to do with it. Hey, I want a Pepsi. Loan me $10. And then they're like,
you're just going to buy booze and vape with
while
this.
I'm getting a Pepsi, let me get some lottery tickets. Boom, I hit $1 million.
You find out they buy the lottery tickets, go, I get half. You call it out right away.
Oh.
You got to make sure you assert your dominance right away. Like, you can't notice that and then they win. Be like, wait, I get half.
Hold up. My brother just gave me like $5 over Easter because I want to bet. And if I bought a lottery ticket with that, is he going to come after me for the winnings?
Not
sure
gift.
Is.
It's a gift.
All right, I'm
too stressed.
We got someone on the phone says they have a guaranteed get-rich-quick scheme.
I can't wait.
What's up?
Hey, you guys are talking about get-rich schemes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did you actually know that if you guys go to thrift stores or antique stores, I kid you not, I bought a car the other day for $10 that's worth $250.
It's funny you say that. My girlfriend's dad, he's big into thrifting. He's friends with the junk guy, like the guy that takes the recycling and the garbage.
Yeah.
He's friends with him because if he finds anything cool when he's cleaning it out, her dad will go down there and grab it from him and pay like $10 for all of it. Kelly, we need to go thrifting.
See, you know what I'm worried about, though? I'm just going to end up with a bunch of crap in my house that I can't get rid of.
You already have a bunch of crap in your house anyway. Just start selling it.
All right, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a morning show trip to the Goodwill.
Yep.
Chelsea, Brian Riley, and myself will all head down there. And then in a week, back to the Goodwill to get rid of all this crap that we bought that isn't worth anything.
Yeah.
It's time now for the Small Town Salute.
A listener-requested Small Town Salute comes from Travis, who wanted us to say good morning to everybody listening in Regal, Minnesota, population 43. Travis tells us that Regal used to hold Cornstalk Fest, which was originally known as Regal Fest, but upon Johnny Cash's visit, he said you should change the name to Cornstalk Fest. So they did. It hosted artists such as Merle Haggard, Mel Tillis, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings. Cornstalk Fest no longer exists, but is a huge part of the city's history. Those are some big stars for a town that only covers 0.5 square miles, but that's why Regal, Minnesota, you get today's Small Town Salute.
That was your Small Town Salute on The Kelly Jordan Show. The Kelly Jordan Show.
Man, I love when we all get to play games against each other in the morning, and this morning we're going to do categories.
Hey-o.
This is exactly what it sounds like. Brian Riley, you got a couple of categories over there. Now, it's unfair because you've had time to think about them, but that's okay.
No, I have a whole list of them. I was just going to go off the most basic ones.
Okay, so we're going to throw out a category. The person who either takes the longest to answer, takes too long to answer, we'll give you everybody, what, 3 seconds? Or repeats one of the earlier answers is eliminated. And then the other two of us will go head-to-head. Does that sound good?
So do we go every other? Or is it just one person?
In a circle. So whoever starts will just go clockwise. So
round robin.
If Kelly starts, you'll go next. Then I'll finish. If I start, whoever to your left. You're going to go left.
We'll let Chelsea go first. Ladies
first. One answer
first.
Or all the answers?
One answer. Have you ever played the drinking categories game?
Well, that's the problem with drinking games, Brian. You kind of remember how they start.
Only if you're bad at them do you forget how they're played.
Bingo. Oh, here we go. You ready?
Okay.
The category is animals.
Horse.
Dog.
Cat.
Frog.
Lizard.
Goldfish.
Giraffe.
Zebra.
Ooh. Bird? Did someone say bird already?
It's a bird?
A bird isn't an animal all of a sudden?
Counts. Elephant.
Okay.
Cheetah.
Rhino.
Lion.
I like that we're going to the safari. Lemur.
Hippopotamus.
Hyena.
I can't. I'm done. I can't.
Can I just keep going until the end of time?
No.
No. Okay. Now you have a little bit more bigger one.
Okay.
This one's going to be interesting.
Chelsea and I go head-to-head on this one.
All right. Head-to-head.
Oh, gosh.
Categories.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Things you find in the kitchen or bathroom.
Who's going first?
Chelsea, you go first. Ladies first.
All right.
Ready? Go.
Spatula.
Toilet.
Pot.
Pan.
Toilet paper.
Sponge.
Scrub daddy.
Sink.
Air fryer.
Table.
Grill.
Shower.
Oh!
Time! I never win anything! Yeah!
I could see the things, but I couldn't say the words.
This is the only time we're ever going to play this game, because I never win anything.
My brain is still in a blender from your whole memes thing, so I can't
blender.
Really...
Oh, I was going to say blender!
Oh, dang it! You messed up on that one.
You know what messed with me is I was going back and forth between the bathroom and the kitchen. I was thinking about all the crap I still have to unpack.
And then you got inside your own head.
And you're looking at me.
I'm sorry.
And Kelly's got nothing going on in his head because he doesn't know what type of person he is.
Oh,
so it's a wide open field
no,
there.
Stop. I'm taking this win and I'll be proud of myself.
It's time to focus on the good news with Happy Hour.
It makes me happy.
So we are in the wake of the Francis Scott Key Bridge tragedy, which was absolutely heartbreaking. And a survivor of the 1972 bridge collapse has come forward to share a message of hope. I think that's incredible to meet somebody who's survived something intense.
What bridge was it that collapsed in 72?
So he was part of the 1972 Sidney Lanier Bridge collapse in Brunswick, Georgia. And he was sharing his story about how him and his wife survived this. So this was about 50 years ago. Al and his wife had been returning from their honeymoon from Disney World. And as they drove across the Sidney Lanier Bridge, a ship hit the bridge and plunged the couple into the water below. They lost each other, right, as they were getting out of their vehicle. So he had no idea where his wife was. He said, you see this thing of lights coming up the river, the Brunswick River, and it kept getting closer and closer. And he said, there are these two guys that ran past us. And he's like, we're going to get hit. We're going to get hit because the ship kept coming after all the cars
Oh, gosh.
Were in the water.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was terrified. There were 22 others that had fallen into the water, and he actually passed out. Like, he does not remember. He remembers surfacing in the water. He remembers seeing a strange woman next to him that was kind of going in and out of consciousness. He was talking to her the whole time. And the next thing he remembers is waking up in the hospital.
Ooh, terrifying. Yeah.
So he thought he lost his wife. And then all of a sudden, as he's talking to this nurse in the hospital, he hears this yelling down the hallway. And he's like, wait a minute, I know that voice. I know that voice. That's my Marianne. That's my Marianne. So then the nurse said, yes, she's here. She's here. So she reunited the two of them. And he says, you know, it's just chills all over the entire experience. He's like, just pray. And here's the crazy thing. He just taught his wife how to tread water 2 days before this happened.
Oh, my gosh.
At the pool for their honeymoon. She had no clue how to swim before that.
Whoa.
And then this happens, the bridge collapses, so he saved her life.
It's crazy because when you see the footage, like even of the most recent one, and you see that ship hit the bridge, you don't think about what's happening to people after that bridge is collapsing.
Right.
Like, it's not just over because the bridge collapsed. There's like people in the water, there's people trapped in their cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Man,
and he says in a situation like that, he's like, just keep on praying.
It's crazy because I'll drive over the I-35W bridge a lot that collapsed when I'm headed down to the cities or whatever.
Yep.
And it's crazy because it's impossible to cross that without thinking of that. They have like a memorial there and stuff, but ooh, it's terrifying.
100%.
Well, it's good that he has a message of hope for these people because I'm sure that's a terrifying moment. And Chelsea, that's why we do happy hour.
We have to.
You got to be a beacon of light in the darkness. If we're not, who's going to do it? Well, we'll do it every single day. We'll do it again tomorrow. All thanks to Audio Video Extreme.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
All right, we got what's trending on the way. Coming up next with Chelsea on the Kelly Jordan Show.
I got this. It's really fun, you guys. A Never Have I Ever Country Life Edition.
Oh, boy. Now, Chelsea, you're the only one with any sort of country experience. Now, when I was a kid, I did have an aunt and uncle who owned a dairy farm. And so I would go there every once in a while and do a few things. I really loved it, actually.
My girlfriend's family all owns farms.
Okay.
So, I've walked on them.
So you might have a shot. Now, I've done 23 out of the 24 of these things.
Jeez. All right. Well, let's not do all 24. We'll go until it gets boring. All right. What's the first one?
Milked a goat.
No.
Oh, hell no. You've done that?
I've never milked a goat.
So that's the one. Okay.
I've milked a three-teated cow. That's about it. Anyways, that's another
story.
You
can do that?
Yeah.
How many teats are they supposed to have? Is it supposed to be more than three?
Kissed a horse.
No.
No.
Hauled hay.
No. Yes, I've actually done that one.
Really?
Oh, yeah. On the dairy farm.
I have not. I'm 0 for 3.
That was a blast.
Done chores in your PJs because you get up so early.
No.
No. Brian comes to work in his PJs.
No, your sweatpants is different.
Did you do chores on the dairy farm?
Kind of. I mean, I was like 12 years old, so it was those kind of chores. Like, I tried to get the cows in the barn, and we like baled straw or hay or whatever.
Yeah, hay.
So I did a few things.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
I cleaned up poop.
That's on the list, too. Shoveled manure.
I've done that.
Very good.
I haven't done that.
Caught a fish.
I have caught a fish.
Oh, there we go.
How about that? I got one.
Gathered a warm egg.
What does that mean?
Like, what do you mean? Aren't they already in the fridge?
No, like, you know,
I don't get what gather. Like, you gotta scoop it up.
This is so cute. You go out to the chicken coop after they lay them, and
gather
no
them. Chance.
No, hell no.
Like, they're still warm.
Gross.
I thought it meant like an egg was broken and you were gathering the remnants.
Ever been cut on barbed wire?
No,
not on a farm, but yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I'll give half a point. Dug potatoes.
No.
No.
I'm thinking about composting, though.
That's not
close.
Foraged for wild berries.
Define foraged.
They're growing in the wild. You're hungry. You need food, and you go out in the wild. Okay.
Yeah, I've never done that. I buy my berries.
Have you ever swam in a stock tank? That's what animals drink out of.
That's a no.
Right. Yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
Okay.
Man, they're doing it on the farm, ain't they?
Golly. You know what? You got a scavenge, man. Sucked nectar from a flower. Y'all didn't do this as kids?
That's some hippie stuff. No chance. That's some hippie stuff.
Like honeysuckle? Yeah.
You're not seeing no dairy farmer out there sucking honey from a flower. That's never happened in the history of farming.
There's all kinds of kinds. Okay.
They would kick you out of the 4-H for that.
Squished a bug with your fingers.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
This is the Midwest.
Chopped wood?
I've done that. You haven't done chopped wood, Brian?
I think I've chopped wood. Yeah, I have.
You we'll give think? It a, you think? Okay, all
I
right.
I think I've done it.
Made bread from scratch.
That's not country. I bet you've done that.
No, so never country. Made bread again.
Done that. Was that all? Was that all of them?
No.
Oh, I was gonna say, boy, that went back.
I have one. I have one checked off. Caught a fish.
Hey, look, we don't claim to be country kids, no. But we're city. It's through and through. 100%.
In my blood.
Sometimes Kelly finds things interesting that no one else does. We mean absolutely no one. It's time for Maybe It's Just Me.
You always think that older people just don't like newer music because they're getting old, right?
Yeah. Right.
This is what we always think. Well, all right, so let's do this. Before we get into it, I want to know, and I tasked you guys with coming up with your favorite song from when you were a teenager. Brian Riley, what was yours?
It would be Kid Cudi, Day and Night.
That's a jam. You were gangster.
I'm trying to tell you, like, I'm the most city could be.
This is a good song, though. This is a really good song.
I love this song.
That brings back a lot of memories. It's funny. You were a teenager. I had a radio job when like I was playing this on the radio.
I was gonna say we're babies.
While you were a teen. All right, so that's a good one. Chelsea, what about you? Favorite song from when you were a teenager?
This brings back every single middle school and high school dance. Amazed by Lone Star.
Oh, that's a good one. Every time I. This is every wedding I've ever DJ'd. This ends up in there somewhere, but it's a great song, though.
And I finally met them 2 years ago, and they signed my shirt. It was for Lone Star Beer.
Oh, nice.
It's a black shirt with a black marker, but I was just dazed.
Skywriting at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, but this is a good one. I'm glad yours is country, because mine is also not a country song, but this is my favorite song from when I was a teenager. PM Dawn.
No.
Shocking. I don't care, dude. Y'all make fun of me all you want. They only had like 3 hits. They weren't a big group.
But the actual song, hits? Or?
Yeah, actual number one hit. Oh, man. This song brings back every memory. Okay, but I brought this up for a reason today. Okay. This is, honestly, this is my favorite song of all time. Like, if I was on a desert island, I could have this one song and be okay.
You'd just live off this one song.
One song. Either way, so, okay, the reason I bring it up, why do we love these songs from our childhood so much, or from our teenage years? Well, it's because our brains are more malleable, they're being shaped when we're in our teenage years, and it's something called neural nostalgia.
Yes.
I got that out.
Yes.
So, say you're 54 years old, you still listen to the same music you loved when you were 13, it's totally natural because our brains were still developing at that time, so these songs that we have bonded to very strong memories that we have of being younger, and they call that neural nostalgia.
Yeah.
And this is why when you hear new music, any song you hear today is not going to have the same impact on you. Like, think of all the good music we hear during the day in here. It's not going to have that bond with your brain because it physically can't. The music from when you're younger is physically bonding. It's why it's the same thing why smells bring back so many memories. Well, music does the same thing.
Hmm.
Because we're listening to it over and over again as our brains are developing, so we actually develop this nostalgia for that song.
Yeah.
Neural nostalgia.
I love that.
I love it, too. And it's why when you listen to a song now, you're like, oh, music sucks today. It's like, well, some of that's true, but some of it is also because it's not going to mean as much to you because your brain is hardened at this time.
Unless there was some huge event or something that was tied to that song.
Nope, not even then, Chelsea.
Not even then?
Nope. That's not as strong as neural nostalgia. I'm just quoting the studies here. I'm quoting the studies.
Well, growing up, I'd listen to records with my dad all the time, and they were always from a very specific time in his life, and it was his teenage years, and he would just listen to them on repeat over and over and over again.
Well, here's another thing that they say. When we become teens, as we just heard with all of the songs that we picked, we're starting to pick our own tastes in music, too.
Mm.
So the songs are meaning more to us because we're not listening to... Now, when I hear music that my parents liked, it's always fun and nostalgic, right?
Right.
Yeah. But it's not neural nostalgia.
Neural nostalgia.
I think you just like saying neural nostalgia.
It does make me feel a little smart.
Yeah.
But neural nostalgia.
I really think that's cool that our brains are forming these memories around these songs. Because if that song comes on, when I hear this, anytime.
You run to the dance floor.
Well, no. But dude, it almost gives me goosebumps every time I hear it. Because I just remember driving around the lakes, you know, with my driver's license brand new and everything. Being in that relationship that, you know, you thought was the one, and just all of those memories.
Aww.
Anyway, so you learned a little something today. about a little something called neural nostalgia, and that is why songs from your childhood mean so much to you.
Hmm.
Now, maybe you didn't find this one interesting. I don't think Brian Riley really liked it.
Yeah, it's fine. It does its job.
Thanks. But I'll have another one for you tomorrow. Might be better. It might not be. It might be as a turd as this one was that I was so excited. Dude, I told you this when you walked in. I was like, dude, I can't wait to do. Maybe it's just me today.
And I was like, okay, I'm ready for it. And you brought it.
Maybe tomorrow's will be better. We'll see. But either way, I'm going to like it because that's the whole point of doing these. Sometimes it's only me, and I'm okay with saying to your face that maybe it's just me. Welcome to our bonus track. It's the very first break of the day. We were talking about things that you'll do on your own now because of YouTube.
Things that
you have the courage to do now that without YouTube you probably wouldn't do.
Dude, YouTube is the lifesaver of my life.
110%. I got to tear down the popcorn ceiling in my house. And I think I'm just going to do it with using YouTube.
I don't see why you wouldn't. Smartest thing to do.
Well, anyway, that's what we talked about. I'm sure there was other stuff too, but it's our bonus track. We tack it on the end of the podcast. I took my kids to Dave and Buster's the other day, and there was like a family having to get their car jumped in the parking lot. And I was like, that's a tough one.
I had to get my car jumped at a gas station at the pump. My car wouldn't start after filling up my gas. And then I go inside. I go, you guys have like some jumper cables or something, right? And the guy's like, I don't know. I just started working here. So, of course, man, I have to call a buddy to drive, and now I just look like that guy with a broken-down car at the gas pump.
I had a leaky tire that it was dang near flat, and then I went into a gas station, filled it up with air, and then the air pump, or whatever it's called, that was broken. So it actually drained more air out of my tire.
That's a risky one.
So what should have just been a quick little, psh, you know, whatever, now all of a sudden I need to get towed. And it was a flatbed tow because it's a four-wheel drive truck.
Did you need a jump after that then, too?
No, just towed me
away. Did it drain your battery and your tire?
Talk about feeling like a loser, though. I'm like, okay, now I really am stuck here.
But let me ask you guys this. Have you guys ever used YouTube to fix something that normally, say, 10 years ago, you would have had to take in your car in?
All the time.
That's all I use.
This thing yesterday, so I've used it for brakes. I bet you I've saved myself $2,000 with YouTube because I've used it to do the brakes on multiple cars.
Yep.
I used it to do the spark plugs on my Silverado when I had that.
Ooh, look at you.
Right, because one of them was like really hard to get to.
Sure.
You know, it was an 8-cylinder, so.
You know, no big deal.
It was eight spark plugs I had to do.
No big deal.
Dude, I'm just like everybody else.
And you went to HVAC school, I heard.
I did. Have I brought that up before?
Maybe once. I think that's how I got it.
All the mechanics listening are like, yep, okay.
So this Tiguan, really quick, I'll tell you what would happen. I would shut it off, and then the cooling fan would come on. And it would run until the battery would go dead. Now, that's a problem that, shoot, I don't know. I guess I'll have to take it in and tell them the problem and see what they can do. But through hours and hours of YouTube research, I was able to find what I think the problem was.
Really?
And so I think I fixed it. I don't know. I was going to ask you, Brian, when you walk past my car, if it sounds like it's running, come tell me. Because I got to pull some fuses then.
I park in the free spot, man. I walk here. I hoof it. So there's no way for me to check.
Both ways.
I was like, please tell me. But I wonder if mechanic shops are feeling the pinch of YouTube.
I think they're all extremely busy because they have the tools, they have the heated garage, they have the lifts and all that stuff. So I think majority of people are not going to YouTube to like change out their engine or do really serious work.
True. And people with money are probably like, yeah, I'm not doing this myself.
For convenience.
No, why would you?
Right. That is true. If I had money, I wouldn't be doing it myself.
So rich that I didn't have to do a single thing and just pay somebody else to do it, I think I would. Like, Jeff Bezos has it made.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not watching YouTube to fix his 2009 Tiguan.
Yeah, no chance. He probably has a 2010 Tiguan.
Doesn't he have a driver?
I would tell you let me ask you guys this then. What is the most complicated thing you've ever fixed thanks to YouTube?
Oh, boy. I think it would have to be car work.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of put you on the spot. I'm sorry. I should have brought this up before.
I replaced iPhone screens before.
Can you do mine?
I probably could, yeah.
My screen shattered this weekend because I was all drunk and dropped my phone.
I was sitting on YouTube watching the video and I'm just going piece by piece, little tiny screws, putting them away, put it back in.
Bam.
That's intricate, dude.
Yeah, dude.
That's really good.
And I'm not even that smart, which says a lot about how right. hard I had to pay attention.
Well, sometimes they get the bubbles in there, too. But no, I had to change up my front differential on my, what the heck was it? My Blazer.
And you did that through YouTube?
I did.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
I got to do struts on this Tiguan. And I'm like, could I do this with the help of YouTube?
No.
Struts seem really difficult.
Ugh. Here's the thing. Every time I go and get a car repair, whether I do it myself or the mechanic, every time there's a noise, I just think the whole thing's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And I picture it so vividly that I get scared.
Well, there's always that thing where, like, you take your car in for an oil change, and they're like, hey, like, your engine's about to fall off. You
know? My check engine light has been on for a while, and everyone keeps trying to turn it off. They're like, I turned it off. It's just a sensor thing. And then it turns right back on, so... At some point, my car's going to blow up.
That is something that mechanics have talked about, because you can get those little readers
tell
you what the check engine lights are for, and they're telling people, do not trust those things.
Well, yeah, because you could just shut off the check engine light. There might be a serious issue going on under the hood.
So that does drive mechanics nuts.
I had a friend who went to school to be a mechanic, and I was always just amazed at like how much he knew about how a car works.
Yeah.
You know, and then just getting in the tight spots to get this one screw. It's just, there's no way I could be an auto mechanic.
Fixing the belts.
HVAC, yeah, I can do that. But mechanic, auto mechanic.
Wait, can you? Because you're here now.
I actually got fired from my one and only. Well, no, because I did apartment maintenance then after that, and there was a lot of HVAC in that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not that dumb. I mean,
I didn't say you were dumb.
I'm not the smartest one in the room. That's for dang sure. But I'm not that dumb.
I'm just proud that you don't run your vehicles into the ground like some people do.
Oh, I do. Absolutely. This Tiguan, this thing will drive until the wheels fall off.
Well, like if you hear like their belts going in that high squeak, or like they're driving around on a donut for 2 months.
I think I could do a belt too, I bet.
I don't see why you could.
I bet you I could get in there and do a belt.
I kind of want to just like, when you repair your car, pull up a lawn chair and watch. Because I want to see exactly how this goes on.
I'll bring a beer.
There's a lot of emotional meltdowns, that's for sure.
A lot of yelling going on.
There's a lot of questioning my career choice. Like, why didn't I pick a job where I could afford to take this in to get it done? I shouldn't be handling tools. All right. Should we do some history, you two?
We can.
This is pretty awesome. It was on this day back in 1973, the very first cell phone call was made.
I'm calling you from a cell phone, but a real cell phone. A personal, handheld, portable cell phone. There was silence at the other end of the line.
So the reason I played that is because the first cell phone call ever was a massive troll. The creator, Martin Cooper, he called Joel Engel over at AT&T. Now, AT&T was like the first company who had car phones.
Yep.
But they wouldn't let you buy them. They would only let you rent them. And
the car phone.
You had to be in your car to use it. And they weighed about 25 pounds. Well, this guy, Martin Cooper, invented the first real, like, handheld, you could walk down the street making a cell phone call.
Was this the one called the brick?
It was, yeah.
I mean, this big gray brick.
It was huge. And I think it was like $2 a minute to make a phone call.
Was that the audio of the first phone call?
No, that was the guy who invented it.
I was going to say, what a boring first phone call. I'm calling you from a cell phone.
Well, it was a troll because he was calling the guy over at AT&T saying like, hey, we're about to take over your business.
And he just said that they didn't even pick up, which I think is even funnier.
No, he said they picked up.
Oh, they did.
But
okay.
He said there was just silence. On the because he was like, oh, what does this mean? Like this dude's walking down the street making a phone call.
What a flex. It's portable.
That's awesome to me. That's so cool. And think, that was 1973. So here we are. What, 50 years later? And look at what we have.
Computers in our hands.
In our pockets.
It's only going to go faster because cell phones from 73 to 93 barely even change. From 93 to today?
Yeah.
Shoot.
Shouldn't have said that out loud. Now Kelly's terrified.
No.
I'm terrified of technology.
It's just why, no, I think technology is bad. That's all I think. I say kill the internet. In 1986, another piece of technology.
Taking your business on the road can be a cumbersome task, and productivity can easily fall off. Presenting the IBM PC Convertible, a powerful personal computer that easily converts to a full-function portable.
You can tell by the sound of this commercial, it's very old. In 1986, IBM released their very first laptop computer. It was called the PC Convertible. Now, this thing would cost you $2,000 at the time, which is about $5,000 in today's money. And it was the size of like almost a small suitcase. It weighed 13 pounds. And that was considered portable at the time. And imagine the computing power it had.
It's so crazy that all this technology came out on the same day.
Right.
Like, I wonder if there's something crazy that's going to drop today.
Like April 3rd is like the big day.
It's like tech day.
The 4-3.
They're probably waiting until the 8th when the eclipse happens. You know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff surrounding that.
Oh, boy.
There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
Have you been watching conspiracy theories on that?
No, but I've been talking to my friend who lives in Killeen, Texas, and he was saying like the town is just full of people coming to see the eclipse.
Oh, boy.
Because I guess they're in the path of totality.
Yeah.
So They're like one of the main cities where people, they expect that city's population to double for the eclipse.
So wow. Is he going to just videotape it for you so you can watch it?
No, I honestly don't care that much about this. As much as I love space and nerdy stuff, eh.
Every time we have an eclipse, it's always cloudy in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It's always cloudy and you never get a chance to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, it's whatever, it's neat. In 2020.
The masks are important. For someone who's infected, to prevent them from infecting someone else.
The masks. Well, anyway, in 2020, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention recommended that people wear face coverings in public due to the coronavirus, which is just crazy. Think about back to how things felt this time in 2020. It was just...
Trauma. I can think of it as trauma.
It felt like the world was about to end.
Yeah. And then when they got up to triple masking, that's when I'm like, I'm out.
I was watching a YouTube video because I like to watch these boating YouTube videos. And I was watching one of a guy on the ocean in a boat by himself.
Yeah.
With a mask on. And I thought, well, that's weird. I was like, this must be from 2020. It's from a couple weeks ago. I'm like, dude, you're on a boat in the sun by yourself with a mask on. What could possibly happen? Ooh. Now, maybe he had some allergies or something. You know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But
really?
In the middle of the ocean? Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Celebrating some birthdays today.
A beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I've always wanted to live in a house like yours, my friend. Maybe when there's nobody home...
Oh man, Eddie Murphy, always one of my favorite SNL cast members of all time. But how old is Eddie Murphy today? Either of you two know? He doesn't look his age at all.
64.
Okay.
I'm gonna go higher than that. I'm gonna say that he's 69.
Brian Riley? Oh, that was anticlimactic. Brian Riley?
Hey,
he's 63 today, actually.
63.
Yeah, so he's getting up there, man. Also celebrating a birthday today, and I have no idea what this clip even is of this guy. I just
Mr. Baldwin is an American treasure. And I am ashamed at the way he was treated. I mean, what harm would it do to let him keep playing his game? Not any game, mind you, but a word game for smart people.
I have no idea what that clip even is, but it's Alec Baldwin's birthday today.
Oh, which one is he?
He's the one who was on like 30 Rock.
So the good one.
He's the one who shot that lady.
No, oh, he's not geez. The good one.
I forgot about the shooting part.
Yeah. He's got like 9 kids.
I retract my statement.
And he's kind of a jerk. Like, yeah. Did you ever remember that voicemail he left his daughter where he was calling her like a fat pig? And
ooh.
Yeah, he's...
Again, cringe. I retract my statement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Retracted. But how old is he?
I'm going to say he's 69.
All right.
68.
Oh, no. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to get your hopes up. You're both a little bit high. Alec Baldwin's the ripe old age of 66 today.
66?
Yeah.
He's only old. 3 years older than Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, and he looks 20 years
older. He looks 100 years old.
He looks terrible. I think he's lived a rough life. Plus, he's a total jerk, and that probably takes its toll on your soul.
Yeah, that'll do it to you.